produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yeah. And how he shares his deepest and most tender feelings and concerns about the people there at Philippi. Note the fact in verse 10, here Paul gratefully acknowledged the kindness of the people in contributing to his relief. First of all, Paul receives their gifts as a blessing arranged by the Lord. Secondly, his rejoicing goes far beyond mere human sentiments, for his rejoicing was in the Lord. Well, in the 11th verse, he says, not that I have, or speak rather, in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Oh, you got to understand, we're living in a restless age here. Stress itself brings about so many different things in our life. Matter of fact, stress is brought on by frenzied activities, and it sells billions of tranquilizers. There's stress everywhere, stress on the job. You know, there's stress in the schools, there's stress in the neighborhood, there's stress in the homes, yeah. And stress can even be found in the churches. You don't hear what I'm saying? Sometimes, some of you all, you come to church, you sit there, you're trying to get a word, somebody playing tic-tac-toe, kicking you. What are we going to do? Where are we going to church? It's chicken after, you know what, taking him so long. Some of you look at your watch right now. You know, you're stressed. Just tell somebody, stress everywhere. So once the hectic pressures of this modern society begin to close in on you, don't throw the towel in. Help me right there. Tell somebody to hang on in there. Yeah. Don't throw the towel in. Just realize that your sufficiency is in Christ. So here Paul's message in verse 11 is like a beacon in the stormy night. Because Paul tells the readers that he has not been crushed with pressing anxiety. So even though that we find that Paul was in want, we do not know precisely what his needs may have been. Now, as people of God, we can only speculate on this matter. It is possible, though, that financing this Roman court case was a heavy drain on Paul's financial resources. But regardless of what Paul was in need of, he learned one of the greatest lessons of life. And that lesson came from a word that is called contentment. Y'all don't like that. There, the word content is used in the 11th verse. It's unique in the New Testament. It is found elsewhere in the literature of the epistles to describe the quiet serenity of a person who exhibits stability in the midst of chaos. That's something very important right there. How do you handle the things of God when things are breaking down? How do you keep it together, look like when everything around you is dissipating? How do you handle it, look like the person you thought you can rely on, you can't get in touch with? How do you handle when you sit in the doctor's office and he come back all frowned up? How do you handle when the children want some Cocoa Puffs and some Fruit Loops and ain't nothing in the refrigerator but air? How do you handle it? Gets to the point now that Paul have gotten to the point that he knows he needs to receive something from God. So what Paul did, he received the Lord in his life. When that happened, he received a new character. Not only that, Paul received a new peace. He received a new power. But then his contentment was no longer in his self-development. Got to know that before Paul really received the Lord in his life, he was a powerful man, naturally so. Paul could speak the word and you would be dead. But now that he has Christ in his life, look like different anxieties begin to present itself. Had a man that had people under his charge, but now looks like he's being pursued. But his contentment was not in what he once was. His contentment was not in this development of his financial ability, but his contentment rested in the indwelling Christ. And I just submit that Satan has fooled some people into always looking on the dark side of things. They seem to always expect the worst. You've seen people even in church after they get through shouting and then they talk about, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck. Just lean on somebody, tell them luck ain't got nothing to do with it. When it's all over with, you got to learn how to be satisfied with who you are in Christ. And I know there comes a time where you might sing to those, I can't get no. Y'all ain't been saved. And so what happens now is that people sometimes began to feel that God can only be found in the grim and difficult times. And they even look at enjoyment as really being impossible. And that God is down on anything delightful. And that's one of the misconceptions that really has caused some people to even pull away sometimes from a degree of holiness. Because we can't even let people feel that they can't even laugh sometimes. Because we think holiness is looking deep. We think holiness is wearing them real long dresses, them thick stockings you can't see through. But they found out that wasn't holiness. Because they found out somebody was getting under them long dresses and them thick stockings. Tell somebody, you got to learn how to be satisfied with Christ. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. But finally, I got to close here. Got to know that there's those that carries the false messages in ensuring one and all that in the will of God, that there can be no pain. There's those that get a false message that since you've got saved, that there will be no suffering, that there will be no hindrance. But I submit to you that when you got saved, Satan released every demon he had in his arsenal to come out against you. And you're gonna have to go through some things here. You're gonna have some things that are gonna brace up against you. But tell somebody to hang on in there. God still got a delivery date with your name on it. Got to close here, but in verse 12 here, you got Paul here that is not expecting the worst all the time. Nor is he denying the reality of present poverty and difficulty. For Paul himself is delivered from all of these attitudes. For he began to say in that verse that I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, Paul was saying, I can either walk or I can ride. Then he make a great statement which saints throughout history have learned to grasp. And Paul began to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I just want somebody to know that when God has placed his spirit down on the inside, You're not a second-hand saint. You're not a second-rate saint. But just lean on somebody and tell them, I can. Yes, I can. Oh, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. What Paul is really saying here, he's not using his faith in Christ to excuse himself from meaningful exertion and constructive activity. He's not intending that the Philippians think that he's advocating a listless approach to life. This is not a substitute for earnest planning and devoted stewardship. It's not a substitute for giving God proper time in prayer. It's not a substitute for having an opportunity to keep on witnessing. For the emphasis in this verse is on Paul's doing. He rests securely in the knowledge that what God has called him to achieve, he would not allow himself to be frustrated by circumstances. Secondly, what we see here, we must take note that, y'all sit down, give me 5 more minutes here, that Paul's statement is anchored in the knowledge of God's will. He's not saying anything that pops into my head, I can do. And that's one thing that you got to understand, that some people just want to act like they're spiritual. And they got stuff just pops in their head. And you got folk that always want to tell you something that God said, but God ain't never said nothing to you. And then you got those that really hear from God, and sometimes we brush them to the side. Why? Because it goes against our norm. Every now and then, God gonna tell you something that don't make sense to you. You don't hear what I'm saying. It don't make sense all the time. When God began to speak a word in your life, it didn't make sense to Naaman. Well, I got to go over here and dip in a dirty Jordan. When I got clean waters over here in Damascus. Well, it may not make sense to you, Naaman, but if you want to be healed, you got to do it God's way. And it don't make sense that if I got to dip, well, I got to dip in this tanky Jordan, and I got to do it 7 times. Well, I can't do it 1 time. Tell somebody, even though it don't make sense, you still got to do it God's way. If you want to be healed, you better go down that 7 times. I just want somebody to know that what God is really trying to say here, that we got to learn to bear in mind that Paul's sufficiency, it rejoices in his relationship directly to his place in Christ. What Paul has here is not self-sufficiency. And that's what we'll fool ourselves in the church. We think we're big by the collars we wear. We think we're big by the change we brace. We think we're big by a few dollars in your pocket. But I just want you to know, drop dead right now. And somebody gonna wear your stuff. Somebody gonna spend your money. They gonna even sleep in your bed. You don't hear what I'm saying. If you call on Jesus, he will. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. So you got to understand that it's not self-sufficiency. It's not sufficiency in material things. But Paul's sufficiency is only in Christ. So his key successful achievement of God's purpose for him, it lies squarely in his sense of total dependence on the word of God. So as I close here, I want to make mention of one of the most often quoted passages that we have in the scriptures, and that is Philippians 4 and verse 19. But my God, yeah, shall supply all your need according to his riches, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is one sweeping, powerful statement about the provisions of God that God really has for his people. What Paul is really saying here, and he really wrote this letter, he wrote it to his friends that had given to the point where they was in need because of their generosity. They did this to Paul. In other words, the court costs and other expenses that Paul had incurred in Rome. It was likely to be extensive, but because these dear friends have been a blessing to Paul in the name of the Lord, Paul is able to promise them something. He was simply trying to tell them that I can't pay you back. I don't have enough money to refurbish you. But what I can promise you is God's ready supply. And what a supply God has. Tell somebody, got a lavish supply. He got a real good supply, both material and spiritual. He was letting them know that your needs gonna be met, and it's gonna be met abundantly. Your needs are gonna be met. It's gonna be met gloriously. Your needs are gonna be met, and it's gonna be met triumphantly. And so we can be assured that it's really impossible to outgive God. And I just wanna tell you, like Paul, Tennessee Southwest and friends of mine, I want to thank God for everything you've done, even on today. But I just want to drop something on you, as kind as you have been. My sufficiency ain't in your dollars. My sufficiency ain't in the pat on the back. My sufficiency is not how you smile. But I want you to know that my sufficiency is in the Lord Himself. Oh, but we can be assured that God is on our side. And we need to know that our sufficiency is not in the man, it's not in the money, it's not in the things. But help me close here and tell somebody that is in God. Yes, your sufficiency is in God. Everything you have is because God has allowed you to have. And that's what the saints, we really need to know. That one thing about it, if you don't have it, you can seek God. He told us in the fourth chapter and round about the fourth verse, he said, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, always. He said, I said, rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known to all men. You don't hear what I'm saying. Let your moderation, let it be known. For the Lord, 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 He is at hand. He said, be careful. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about something that you can't control. You worry about who like you. You can't control it. But hang on in there. God will take you from point Z and bring you back to A. So you can start all over again. Tell somebody, you ain't the end. Hallelujah. You're not the end. God is in control. So that's why I got to hang on in here. My sufficiency is in the Lord. But then Paul says, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And some people said, I got an unspoken request. Well, I hear what you're saying, but you better speak it to God. You may not speak it to me. You may tell your partner, but you better make it known. Make it known unto the Lord. Make your request known unto God. And the peace of God will pass it all understanding. Shall keep your heart and keep your mind. I got to get out of here with that. With Christ Jesus. Finally. Tell somebody that's the end. Finally. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Keep your mind on the things of God. Keep your mind on the blessings of God. Keep your mind on the praises of God. All my sufficiency is in God. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, y'all encourage somebody. Tell them God will. He'll pull you through. He'll bring you through. He'll lift you over. He'll bring you around. Yes, he will. I know. I know. Yeah. I hear my granddaddy's side. Good old Baptist side. I know. My sufficiency is in the Lord. Tell somebody, yes, it is. My sufficiency is how God kept me. Yes, it is. I'm satisfied. I can hear him say, ain't it all right? My sufficiency in what he's done for me when I couldn't do for myself. Ain't he all right? My sufficiency, how he brought me, how he taught me, how he kept me, how he held me, how he thrilled, filled, made me. All my sufficiency is in him. I love him. How many of you really love him? Can you wave your hand and say, I love him? I love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. Somebody said he heard my cry, pitied my every groan. Long as I live and trouble rise, I hasten through his throne. And I can hear him say, I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Oh, Lord, he'll make a way for me and for you. Jesus will see us. He'll see us safely through. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. How many of you believe that? I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Oh, I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Oh, Lord, he'll make a way for me and for you. Jesus will see us. He'll see us safely through. I know the Lord will make a way. Ooh, yes, he will. The other part that he used to say, yes, he will. Uh-huh. Yes, he will. Oh, 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 yes, he will. I am a living witness that he will. Yes, I know the law will make a way. Yes, he will. Make a way for me and for you. Jesus will see us safely through. I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. Everybody standing if you're able. I'm satisfied with Christ. When this world get through twirling and doing what it does, the most important place you can be is in Christ. I know that history is trying to be rewritten. Even I was discussing with some preachers on the other night, some folk think they have the power to rewrite scriptures. The devil has always been a master deceiver. But God has done something for the saints. He gave you a sneak peek into the end. That he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. I don't care how this thing is changing. Somebody got to stay with God. It can't be based on your popularity. It may even cost you a friendship. You might not even be able to go to the family and meet. But somebody ought to be able to stand on the word of God. Everybody want to hear him say, well done. But what is he going to say well done to? Just think about it. We get ready to go back to our various churches, members. What is he going to say well done to? Well done, you never brought nobody to the body of Christ. Well done, you never witnessed. Well done, they had to beg you to do everything. Hello, somebody. Well done, you stayed mad with everybody. What is he going to say, well done? Think about not somebody else, but you right now. What is it about you that heaven gonna be so glad to see coming?
Has prepared. cease. And if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Oh, I realize that sometimes in this life we're gonna be tossed by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor, and it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storms don't cease,
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.